Welcome to the Animation Podcast, an official podcast of Filmbook. The Animation Podcast is a weekly animation news podcast that reports on the latest animation movie and TV show news.
Okay, well, here we are. Welcome to the Animation Podcast. You've already heard it from a much more exciting person than me. My name is Ephraim Burney, and I will be your new host to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. If you are tuning into the Animation Podcast for the first time, what I do on this podcast is discuss the current week's animation news. Find more the Animation Podcast episodes on filmbook.com, that's film-book.com, by using the search term The Animation Podcast. If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on YouTube, please like our video, subscribe, and consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support helps us create more engaging content. With all that being said, let's dive right into some of our top stories of the day. If you were a child in the 1970s, or probably more likely, a child of a child from the 1970s, you might know the Mr. Men, Little Miss children's book series created by Roger Hargreaves. Well, you'd be excited to hear that it has been acquired by Endeavor Content. The previous holders of the license were Sanrio, of Hello Kitty fame. Yeah, I probably don't need to explain to you who Sanrio is, but they've had the brand since 2011 and have since made a good heap of money off of its books and merchandise and whatnot. And now Endeavor Entertainment and Content has bought up the license and is planning on developing several new TV series and movies with these characters. You've seen them before. They're the little kind of round, yellow characters, big smiles on their faces. They have sort of heavy emotional, like, archetypes that they play off of. If you haven't, give them a look. I know they were very important to my childhood, but maybe I'm a little too old to be talking about them. Endeavor Content has worked closely with Netflix before. I think they helped broker the Roald Dahl estate with them. So that isn't necessarily a indicator that these shows will be on Netflix, but it's a strong possibility. Most things are aiming to be on one of these big streaming platforms anyway. I would guess that you can expect something like this within the next year or two coming out on Netflix. Moving on from new beginnings to old beginnings, I guess, or just old in general at this point, gosh. Archer has been renewed for a 13th season on FXX, and it is still garnering very good praise on these episodes. They get very high scores on places like Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb. And it's not, I mean, it is something to, I wanted to say it's not hard to see why, but of course it is a real testament. Adam Reed has been just the major player behind the scenes with the creative force here, and he is really somebody that we should talk about more often, I feel as though. The show's staying power is really incredible. They've gone through new casts and new subject matter. They stopped being spies and they became spies again. And they really know how to do serialization done right, I think. That's just my probably biased opinion. I grew up with the show. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Adam, if you're out there listening. Lastly, this is a little story just... I wanted to give you guys... It's out of my heart. On The Tonight Show the other day, I think it was October 4th when we were subjected to this, Jerry Seinfeld went on live public record and apologized for making the B-movie as sexual as it was. Now, of course, he's probably saying this in jest himself, but he is here quoted saying, after looking back... After it came out, I realized this was really not appropriate for children. And I really love the idea that all these years later, Jerry is haunted up at night wondering what he's done the trouble he's caused for these poor children, subjecting them to the romantic relationships between a bee and Renee Zellweger. I remember going back and it wasn't all that bad. Who knows? But if you were traumatized as a child watching the two of them, he's got his apologies for you. Let's talk about some streaming and network news. We're going to cover Disney, Netflix, HBO Max, Hulu, Cartoon Network, the whole lot. We're early enough in October at this point that they still have a whole host of shows that are coming your way, and it's my job to let you know what you should expect come your October. Yesterday on Netflix, Pokemon the Movie, Secrets of the Jungle, premiered October 8th. Coming later, we have Bright Samurai Soul, October 12th. Karma's World Season 1 will be coming out October 15th. If you're a fan of Gabby's Dollhouse, perhaps, Season 3 is coming your way October 19th. I'm mostly excited for Inside Job, Season 1, coming October 22nd from Alex Hirsch and the lot. If we have any Gravity Falls fans out there, like I imagine we probably do, you're going to want to check that out. It's got more of an adult tint to it, perhaps, but Gravity Falls was kind of edgy anyway, and I would say check it out. I'm a big fan of Alex Hirsch. I'm excited for what he does. Disney Plus has a whole slew of new things coming out. If we have any Alvin and the Chipmunks fans out there, you'd be excited to know that both the original and the Road Chip movie started strong this month on Disney Plus. You can check those out if you want. And hey, speaking of chipmunks, Chip and Dale Park Life premiered on October 6th, and we have new episodes coming our way on the 13th. Moving on to some very exciting things over at HBO Max. The month of October is the month of Aquaman, the new trilogy series, Aquaman King of Atlantis, from producer James Wan, who directed the 2018 live-action movie, comes all throughout October. The first part comes out on October 14th, and then again on the 21st, and then again on the 28th. The art style looks so cool for this. I really like the more comic book-esque thing. He's a little chunkier. He's got the beard. I don't know. I just like the way this looks. I feel like this is something new and exciting, and I think everybody should check it out. Turning our attention over to Paramount Plus, their relatively newer thing, I guess relatively in parentheses here, but they are more focused on filling out their catalog with some classics. So earlier this month, we got Beavis and Butthead Do America alongside Rugrats Go Wild, and then later that week, on the 7th, we got more episodes of Rugrats from Season 1. Later this month, they are giving us Rango. And look, where Rango goes, I go. And Rango is pointing me over to the Japan section of our news coverage. Let's talk a little bit about anime, perhaps. Please criticize that transition in the comment section. But honestly, we actually have some exciting news. Funimation dropped the trailer for the My Hero Academia World Heroes movie on Thursday this week. The movie hits theaters in US and Canada on October 29th and will be released with a special manga booklet created specifically for the opening. From the trailer, we can see the film is taking a more serious tone, adopting something that seems almost out of a James Bond movie, with our heroes searching and deactivating hidden bombs placed by an anti-quirk terrorist organization called Humorize. Throughout the thing, we don't get a lot of looks at what the characters are going to be going through, but you can kind of imagine that it might be more of a standalone film. But they're going to be put to the test. It looks like Deku is fighting he's kind of got like a One Piece thing going on. Maybe I'm dating it way too old. But this guy's got all these like blue plates, and he's zapping him, and he kind of reminds me of the electric guy from One Piece, if you guys remember way back when Luffy had to fight the he had all this like floating gold around him. I can't remember. If you guys know One Piece, you probably know who I'm talking about. But I'm excited for this sort of espionage-type thriller that they could be mixing with these characters. I don't watch My Hero Academia, so look, they could be doing this every day. Maybe the whole show is a spy show. I don't know. But they have a lot of footage in this trailer of these characters, these heroes jumping out of planes and falling down to exotic locations and Paris and Morocco and defusing bombs. I don't know, it seems like a cool new take that could be interesting for these characters, and I'm always going to push for something exciting and new in the stead of old tropes. But speaking of exotic locations, let's take our segment to animation around the world. I am getting so good at these transitions. It's only my first episode. But internationally speaking, the South African animation studio, Triggerfish, is partnering up with German-funded development program E4D in the hopes of fostering new talent and industry in African animation. I think this is so exciting. And you can see some of the stuff that they posted at the International Festival in Cape Town. They had some drawings and artwork from new and inspiring animators, and it just seemed so fresh and exciting. The two companies, Triggerfish and E4D is a company, it's a program, but they've partnered up together and they've stated what they hope their goals to be with this team up. They want to expose 10,000 school leavers to the booming animation industry. They want to launch a free online course program introducing editing for animation. They want to launch a 10-second animation competition. They want to present 4 workshops at the Cape Town International Film Festival. And they aim to remove the gap between animation training and the animation industry. I really, really am excited for this kind of development. I think something like this could be huge in the grand scheme of working towards something with more exciting content from newer voices. I mean, I wish that we had less of a gatekeeper community with this animation in the United States, even. I can't speak to what it's like everywhere else, but it does seem as though there are really only a couple of schools that you can go to if you want to get your show funded in the animation world. I think it's very exciting. I'm wishing Triggerfish the best of luck. Let's move on to, I've spent all my transitions, let's move on to home video and digital HD releases. In the same vein of anime, the Demon Slayer movie, Mugen Train, I hope I said that right, has a Blu-ray and DVD release date set for Tuesday, December 21st, 2021. If you're excited for that, I would check that out if you like Demon Slayer. Now here's something exciting. G Kids and Cartoon Saloon have announced that The Secret of Kells, Song of the Sea, and Wolfwalkers, their kind of critically acclaimed series of Irish movies, will be released together as an Irish folklore Blu-ray disc pack on December 14th. So lots of great Christmas gifts coming your way. And finally, if we're talking about what came out this week on Blu-ray and DVD, we can't go any further without mentioning the movie I reviewed to get this very job, Space Jam: A New Legacy, with LeBron James and Bugs Bunny and Zendaya and all these characters that they were very embarrassed to use. No, I'm being a little hard on it, but it is a movie that if you want to check it out, I'd say go ahead. It would be a great... It'd be a great Christmas gift to me if you wanted to send me this movie. If you wanted to send me the DVD of this movie. I don't want the Blu-ray. I want the DVD. But I know why you're all here. And I know why you're all here. It's because of what it says in the title card. Yes, I am going to review a movie for you all today. I'm reviewing My Little Pony: A New Generation. It just came out on Netflix this last week. It was directed by Robert Cullen of Transformers Cyberverse and Danger Mouse fame, and Jose Ucha from The Secret Life of Suckers and Invisibles. They both have story credits on this as well. It's written by Gillian Burrow, who has a long history of My Little Pony writing. She wrote for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic and Equestria Girls, and Tim Sullivan, who is kind of a wild card here. I haven't seen him do... He doesn't seem to have much animation writing credit besides... he has a brief thing, a brief mention on Flushed Away from way back when. But he also has... He's written Letters to Juliet with Amanda Seyfried and a film I don't know, Jack and Sarah. But if you're a big Tim Sullivan fan, get excited because he co-wrote this with Gillian Burrow, and he also has a story credit too. So good on him. The cast includes Vanessa Hudgens, Kimiko Glenn, James Marsden, Sophia Carson, Liza Koshy, and Ken Jeong. Now, full disclosure, I'm pretty friendly with Kimiko Glenn. We've known each other for a while now. But I'm not going to kind of let that influence me when I was it is the reason why I watched this, but I'm not just going around watching My Little Pony in general. I'm not going to let that bias me when I'm talking about it. That being said, I know My Little Pony is a big cultural touchstone for a lot of people. It was really big when it came back with Friendship is Magic, and that kind of took the world by storm. So it's now not so much just a thing for kids or I don't know, girls. It's for everybody. And so that's kind of what I'm going into looking at it with. I'm not going to go too far into the story. I'll give you a brief synopsis of what sort of happens. It takes place in the same universe as the show that probably most of you are well aware of with the, I don't know the characters very well, but I know like Twilight Sparkle and Flutter Dash or Rainbow Dash. Or I really don't know. But it takes place in the same world as that, but it's been several centuries perhaps later or something or other. But the three types of ponies, Pegasi, unicorns, and the aptly named Earth Pony, which I felt was kind of sad that they didn't get anything fancy or special. But these three sort of races of pony have long since grown apart when they used to be very close. Friendship is magic, as it says, which is, an important part of this movie, too. But these races have long divided into different sections and nations and whatnot, and now it's up to the main character, Sunny, and her newly acquired unicorn friend, Izzy, to sort of bring them all back together. Kimiko Glenn plays Izzy, Vanessa Hudgens plays Sunny. And there are actually some pretty good highlights in these characters. Ken Jeong is particularly charming as this kind of spoiled mama's boy bad guy. I think he has the best song too. I don't think it's him singing, or if it is, good job, Ken Jeong. A man of many talents, as it turns out. Kimiko and Vanessa have, like, a history of musical theater acting, so it's not surprising that they do a great job. Everybody's an okay singer in this. I think Kimiko has the better songs of the two. I don't know, that's just, but I felt like a lot of the songs kind of started to blend into one another, but that's my case with a lot of kids' movies these days. I feel like it's sort of just the homogenized sound of right now, making me sound like an old grump. But that being said, there is Ken Jeong's song is kind of punk and exciting. It's like a mob mentality song, and Kimiko has a great kind of makeover song. So you get the two sides of the spectrum there. I liked it a lot. And speaking of mob mentality, that's what a lot of the big messages are. Is against fear mongering and not focusing on what's different, and differences don't make us necessarily evil and whatnot. And I think that's an important message that if we haven't already been kind of hammering it in, it's not anything new particularly, but it is an important message, and I imagine a lot of younger kids, this will be their first time kind of getting a glimpse into that. There are some strange things, like Ken Jeong's character, Sprout, he's the bad guy, kind of becomes a warlord by the end of it. They don't really like outright say it, but they dress him up like he's like a like he's a fascist, which I think is really funny. The bad guys kind of get a little confused by the end. I thought it was going in one direction with one character's mom, because she really seemed like the one that was sort of the root of the problem, and then they sort of pivot, and she learns a lesson, kind of. I'm not really sure. That was part of my wonder, too. I don't know how strong these characters are in relation to where they're coming from, right? So I know what really made the first My Little Pony so popular was its character dynamics and the relations between them. And granted, they had a whole TV show. They had several seasons to build this up. But what I think its initial strength was that they were so committed to really personifying this core group of the characters, right? There was, you know, the main girl, Twilight, was studious. And she had her pros and her cons with that. And she had, you know, the Rainbow Dash was kind of spunky and and queer-coded. I don't know. They were just stronger. They took stronger risks with the characters' personalities. And I think with this go around, they tried something a little different. I think it seems as though a lot of people might have been involved with the writing process. A lot of the characters felt similar to me. Which is why certain characters like Kimiko Glenn's and Ken Jeong's are the ones that I keep talking about, because these were the ones that had sort of striking personalities to me, and they stood out. Also, design wise, they looked a little different. I think Ken Jeong is the only one that's red in the movie, which is makes him immediately stand out. And I get that he's a bad guy, so that works. But I don't know, I remember maybe it was just in the 2D realm, but in 3D, these characters all sort of blend together a little bit, which made for some confusing things, especially when characters are related and have to have the same sort of look. Oftentimes I was confusing a mom with her daughter and vice versa. I think that would probably be my biggest complaint, is that the characters are sort of homogenized and mushy, and they don't feel like they stand on their own the way that some of the original ones do. Like, even in the beginning, you have them playing with the toys. The main girl is playing with the toy figurines of the older characters. And I found myself missing something like that. I was like, oh, wow, they really did have these striking designs, and they were really intentional about what they were doing. And I felt most of these characters didn't feel as intentional. That being said, I really do like the way that it is animated. The CGI here is, they feel like they have the right amount of weight for these characters. I mean, they're buoyant, and it's really fun to watch them dance in a weird way. It's very slick. The kind of the four-legged dancing, whatnot, is pretty cool. It feels choreographed and like they are realistic in a weird way. Like, they obviously don't look realistic, but the way they move feels very kind of bound within the reality of what these ponies deal with, and like their anatomy of it. It's pretty cool to see them do little sidesteps and cha-chas and whatnot. I really don't know, doesn't sound like I know anything about how dancing works, let alone ponies work. That being said, I also really appreciate that they refrained from using the animated fur that a lot of movies go to. I mean, it wasn't ever going to be a huge thing that with the horses don't have fur like that anyway. And especially because it's supposed to sell a particular toy and the toys don't have the fur, but I don't know. It wasn't distracting the way that a lot of animated fur, like what they do in Illumination a lot of time. You see all the strands. It just seems really strange. So that being said, I would recommend My Little Pony. I'd say if you're a kid, you'd probably like it. It's nothing groundbreaking, and there's a lot of kind of skipping ahead and kind of rushing development that doesn't necessarily need to be there. I'd give it like a 3 out of 5. Again, numbers, they don't mean anything. How would I have improved it? I would have changed, made it more of a buddy comedy, I think. I think either focus in on Izzy and Sunny's relationship from the get-go and make it more of a story about them, or start from the beginning with this group of characters, or just get us to them earlier, because I felt as though there wasn't enough time to properly characterize each one in the dynamic. So yeah, reshaping the structure of the movie, and you know, really kind of doubling down and honing in on what makes your character an individual. Individualizing the characters and building them up a little more. I think that's all I would really suggest. If they were to give me the next My Little Pony movie, they do suggest that there's going to be a sequel at the end. So, you know, stay for it after the credits. It's pretty cool. Now, on the total other end of the spectrum, we're going from My Little Pony to my recommendation of the week, which is MFKZ. Just in the complete other direction. If you've heard of this, I didn't know. I don't know anybody that's watched this movie. But I really do think it really lives in a place in my heart. It's not a perfect movie by any means, but let me give you a little rundown bar. So MFKZ, it's a acronym. It really stands for, something that they probably won't let me say on our podcast here. It is a kid's show. But, or at least it's ad friendly. I don't know if it's a kid's show. But, you know, I'm going to call it MFKZ because that's what they call it in the American release anyway. It's a French animated movie from directors Shojiro Nishimi, from Tekken Kinkreet. I think that's how you say it. Tekken Kinkreet. And, more importantly, well, not more important, Tekken Concrete is a great movie too, but Akira, so this guy has been around for some classics, and Guillaume Renard, again, look, I'm not gonna, every guy with a microphone talking about people will always apologize for butchering names, and I'll say, yeah, no, I'm probably butchering their names, but I will argue that you guys don't know how to say my name, and it's, you could go down into the little description and see it, and probably still not know how to say it, so I don't take offense to that. I hope they don't take offense to that. It's by Run, it was written by Run Renard, it was directed by him, along with Shojiro Nishimi. Run is the original creator of the comic book that the movie is based off of, so already you're going in with the original creator's vision, which I love. Now, because it's a French movie, it has a French cast and an English cast. I'll read kind of the highlights of both of them. The French cast has Orelsan San, Gringe, and Fyodor Atkin. I've listened to that when I watched the French version the first time I saw this movie. I really liked it. I think they're all great. In the English version, they're also very good. I watched it yesterday just to remind myself of it. It stars Ken Michael, Vince Staples, and Giancarlo Esposito. Three very powerful voices and in all different rights. Vince Staples probably stands out to a lot of you guys, but MFKZ owes a lot of its aesthetic to hip-hop and that sort of culture. And the French cast also, I mean, Orelsan and Gringe are both rappers as well, so it kind of lends itself well to that, and it makes sense. And Giancarlo Esposito, I mean, he is great. He's one of the best bad guy voices out there. And sometimes I wish they'd let him do something else, but he's great when he's in it. I'll give you a brief rundown on the script. I don't want to spoil the story for you. The movie's about a young man. I think he's like 22, 24 or something. His name is Angelino and his best friend Vince. And they live in Dark Meat City in New California. It's a weird kind of reimagining of American culture and poverty and whatnot. And he kind of discovers, Angelino has been orphaned from birth, and he discovers that while he's being hunted down by these Men in Black-esque characters, he finds out that he has kind of hidden secret powers in there. Now, critically, this movie did not do well. But if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, there's a great indicator that it's actually kind of a gem, because it's got splat green right against the wall critically, and then high up there on the audience reviews. People like this movie. It's just that critics don't. And I understand why. The comparisons to Akira, in that young guy kind of finds out his powers and goes a little crazy, it's there, and they said the same thing about Tekken Creed too, but again, like, the guy who directed it worked on both of those movies, of course it's gonna kind of be like that, plus, the visual style here is so, so exciting, not just from the, like, if you look this up, you'll probably recognize these characters. Angelino is kind of pitch black, coloring. And he's got a really big round head with these huge eyes, which is part of Run's signature kind of characterization and style. Because his buddy Vins has a kind of a same build to him. He's got a very big head, but it's a skull, and it's on fire. But they're weirdly very charming in it. And if you compare it to the slew of kind of like a lot of, at least to me, a lot of run-of-the-mill Disney and new animation these days, especially when it's CGI, kind of looks the same. And in a lot of ways, they have the same teachers teaching these people, so they're going to look similarly. But you also have to build things. I'm rambling. Regardless, it was very excited to me. So the slickness of this animation is partially all that you want to watch. Like, that's the big reason I'm going to recommend it to you. It's also got a lot of grit to it that you don't see in a lot of movies. Partially because it's French, and it's certainly not without its kind of, like, it's got sort of, it goes a little too far in the gore, and it's got a little bit of, like, gross-out humor, which, I mean, normally I'm not such a big fan of, but honest to God, maybe it's just me being biased, but, like, I think the French do it way better than we do. I don't know, it's like weirdly kind of charming and aesthetically pleasing when these characters are gritty and gross. The action also is huge. Like, the set pieces, at least in the first half, the second half of the film kind of derails a little bit story-wise, but the first chunk of that movie, It's back-to-back exciting action set pieces. There is this car chase where the two main guys are in a ice cream truck. And it is so cool to how they have this kind of hip trap beat in the background while it's chasing. And then when you cut to them in the ice cream truck, the ice cream truck jingle starts to blend in with the music that's in the background of the chase. It's just so cool and exciting. And again, some of the action, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but it does kind of go into an Akira direction. But before they do that, the shootouts, the car chases, there's some great escape scenes. There's this running gag where these characters are such slobs that they've befriended the cockroaches in their apartment complex, and then the cockroaches actually become relevant to the story. I think that's genius. I think that's so fun. And so I highly recommend, if you like action, if you like kind of gritty stuff. It's R-rated. I should probably mention that. It's pretty gritty in that sense. So it's not for kids. But if you like that kind of thing, I highly recommend you turn on MFKZ. Because it's not being talked about by nearly enough people, I feel like. And I'm always going to push for something that is new and exciting. And that being said, I think that might be our day. That might be our day today. Check out MFKZ, watch My Little Pony, and see for yourself what you think. Leave a comment if you can, like when you can. If you're listening on the subway, give me a thumbs up in the air. I'll see ya somewhere. Thank you for watching this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work on Filmbook, that's film-book.com. Just search Ephraim Birney, EPHRAIMBIRNEY, or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Frumblers or on Instagram at Ephraim_Burning. If you would like to contact us, you can email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Animation Podcast. Find more of the Animation Podcast on Filmbook, on your favorite podcast service, and on YouTube.